Hello, Carl Sabatino back with Roland Smith, and this is Smith Sabatino heard on America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network. And thank you so much for joining in, Roland, please.
Well, Carl, we have Gordon Rothman with us. He's worked in local news and cable news before joining CBS News 31 years ago. He has a wide-ranging career as a writer, producer, editor. He's written for Diane Sawyer, Bill Curtis, an old friend of mine, Phyllis George, you might remember.
Absolutely.
He's produced the CBS This Morning, 48 Hours, Discovery Health Channel, Science Channel, you know, all sorts of wonderful things at CBS. Now, I'm delighted to... I think, Gordon, we have probably passed each other in the hallways of the 57th Street Broadcast Center through the years. But I first learned about Gordon when he announced through a CBS alumni organization that, in fact, he was retiring and he was going to take up the cause of Gatewave Radio, which is a radio program for blind people, where volunteers like you, Carl, or me, or dozens of others would come in and read various news articles from magazines, newspapers, etc., for the blind. I think that's a wonderful idea.
Absolutely.
So, Gordon, welcome to Smith Sabatino.
Thank you very much.
What got your interest in this organization?
I first joined this organization when it was in a very different mode. We've been an independent service for 5 years now. Before that, it was part of the Jewish Guild for the Blind with a different name. It was called In Touch Networks. And slight correction, it's not a program. It's a service. It's a 24-hour-a-day service with 6 new hours of programming a day. I got involved because I've always loved radio. And if television hadn't grabbed me late in college, I would have been doing radio news all these years. The power of the human voice is so extraordinary, and the opportunity to sit in front of a mic and enhance the lives of people on the other end. Doesn't matter whether it's one or a dozen or a thousand or 10,000, it's a positive force.
If somebody is blind and wants to participate in listening to this into the Wave Radio, it's going to call Wave Radio.
Gatewave. Right. Gatewave, one word.
I'll write it on the blackboard,
I'm
Carl.
Saying, I'm from, over from on the side on here.
Okay.
100 times.
Since your program is heard around the country, let me put it in the bigger context, because there are other services in other cities. And to find whether there's one in your city, the best way is to go to a website called iaais.org.
Say that again.
iaais.org. That stands for International Association of Audio Information Services, which represents services like ours around the country. Now, we're the only one in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
We are heard on a dozen other services in other cities that affiliate with us and run dozens or even hundreds of hours, or more than 100 hours a week of our programming. To hear Gatewave, as well as many of these other programs, it requires either getting a radio, a special radio which picks up a special frequency. In New York, it comes from an FM radio station, but regular FM radios don't get it. You can subscribe to us by going through our website, which is gatewave.org. That's gatewave.org. We also are available through our website, gatewave.org. We will soon be available through a telephone service, which is widely available to people who are blind or visually impaired, called NFB Newsline. So people can phone in.
This is a great service. I don't recall hearing much about this through the years. Is that because my lack of knowledge, or is it just not enough publicity from you guys?
I would say it's both. this is something that you would learn about through through blind service organizations, through rehabilitation centers that speak specifically to those interests. We certainly have done very little advertising.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you where we are in our history right now. I'd explain that we were
sure.
5 years independent. We're doing a relaunch. We're in the process of it now. The amazing thing that's happened in the last 5 years since the Jewish Guild shut down the studios is that some amazing people, and the names Gail Starkey and Richard Koziol are the chief ones, figured out a way to keep this service going, even though at the moment we don't have a studio, we don't have an office. We have 50 volunteers who are doing recordings in their homes, editing programs in their homes, and they're marrying it together through the magic of digital audio files in the internet. It's extraordinary.
That's wonderful.
But it puts us in a place now where we can grow again, and that's where I come in. I am committed to making wonderful things happen from this base of these programs. Now, right now, people read newspapers and magazines. That's the heart of what GateWave does now. The mission over the next year, 2 years, is to add to that. So it's not just hearing The Economist. My wife and I record The Economist for an hour a week. Someone mm-hmm. else does Time Magazine, someone else People Magazine. We're going to start adding content that is specific to New Yorkers and specific to the needs of people with blindness and visual impairment and other conditions that make it impossible for them to read. When someone is new to vision problems, they need information. They need to know what are the services that are out there. They need to know what events have accommodations for them. They need to know about the new technology, which is changing month by month to allow them to better partake in life, to become more independent. And I see in our service just a wonderful opportunity to help make these connections. We hear from listeners, and we know about listeners who tend to be very isolated, especially if they've lost their vision late mm-hmm. in life. They need help. They need motivation, inspiration.
How do you deal with the copyright issues from the various magazines?
There is a specific provision in copyright law that pertains to services like ours, and it allows us to use material without making licensing arrangements. There are some particulars to it, and it has to be programming that's specifically aimed to the blind and visually impaired. So it's not something that we want to publicize to or make available to the general population.
Okay. All right. So I couldn't tune this in at home if I wanted to.
It's not on your radio.
Right. Okay. It's on the internet.
To get it through the internet,
you have to sign up, I imagine.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
That's right.
How do you sign up?
Through gatewave.org.
Okay.
And you have to attest to being someone who is visually impaired.
Do you have to prove that? And I don't know, do you have to get a doctor's certificate? Or
there are a couple of ways of doing it. One involves a certificate, and the other is if you are already signed up for instance, the National Library Service has a program mm-hmm. for the visually impaired. So if you're already signed up for that, you would have access to this. There's one other way of getting it, and there is a smartphone app called iBlink Radio, which again is targeted to.
I've heard about iBlink. I think that's fascinating, Gordon. I think you've taken on an enormous task, bless you, but the need is clearly there. And it provides a needed service. And the most important thing that we need, we were talking about it earlier, is information. And if you are visually impaired, doesn't mean you can't get the information you need. And I think this is absolutely wonderful. I really do.
It's a wonderful service.
Well, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I'm hoping that we can become a sustainable organization with a small staff and a small home and a studio that we can either use or share. But between now and then, it's going to take getting volunteers to help us out. It's going to take some contributions to help pay the way. But I think the future is bright.
So funding is a key.
Funding is always a key.
Hey, boy, isn't that the truth, Carl?
Oh, gosh, yes, it is. Well, good luck. And please, once again, the website.
Gatewave.org. That's GATEWAVE.org.
And can they contribute on the website?
They can.
Wonderful.
All right, Gordon Rothman, thank you very much for joining us on Smith Sabatino.
Thank you both.
Come back and visit us again.
Yes, absolutely. Please, you promise.
I'm
very interested in it. This is interesting. Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith, our guest, Gordon Rothman. We'll be back, and more things coming up, Roland, you think?
Well, all I know is whatever I read. I don't know. Yes, we have some interesting stuff coming up.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Department and especially discount stores are out to get your money. In fact, they're expert in manipulations designed to do just that. Here's the science of it. It's called priming, or specifically price point priming, and here's how it works.
Listen up, everybody.
At the end of every counter, they'll have a large display of product, and these are typically priced below cost. Say it's a microwave, you see it, and you think, wow, that's a great price. You're now primed. So you walk around the counter and check out their other products like this one. These are typically priced more than the competition. They've tricked you into believing that everything they carry is equally bargain priced. What's the cheap psychological trick? Never allow yourself to be victimized by low point price priming. More info at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MYTV.
Think green.
Harrison with you. The Army's looking to alternative scanning methods at airports that might soon make the TSA obsolete. The Pentagon is examining large-scale biometric sensors that would scan passengers by examining their expressions, gait, and pose, while looking for abnormal perspiration and changes in body temperature. In short, they're looking at sweat scanners, which will allegedly detect if someone's subconsciously nervous. Nervousness becoming manifest in excess body heat, sweating, or nonspecific erratic behavior, they say. Best they tout is that people would be unaware they were being camera scanned. At issue, of course, are false positives when, for instance, people late for a flight are sweating from running to catch their planes, or if you're at the airport already upset, you'd likely be pulled by authorities, which ironically would only make you even more sweaty and upset. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.